So today's daf is daf Gimel Masechet Kiddushin, and we're holding in the middle of an analysis of the language of the Mishnah, trying to understand why does the Mishnah focused on Lashon Nekeva, which turned out to be because of Derech, why Derech is so specifically gender-oriented, why we chose Derech instead of Davar. The last thing that we had was that Derech indeed is always there to teach something, either that it's being the catalyst, as in the case of Shiva Drachim of Lezav, or that it's teaching us the nature of the development of Kedushin and Derech Eretz and its biological roots and the way we should follow through with it. And so on. It was, we took ourselves very, very seriously. All of a sudden, the Gemara has a problem with this approach. And that is here on Daf Gimel, on the fourth line, Vahaditna. Ask the Gemara, and what are you going to do with the following? Vahaditna. Koi, Yeshbo Drachim Shavela Chaya. Yeshbo Drachim Shavela Beima. Yeshbo Drachim Shavela Chaya Ula Beima. Yeshbo Drachim Sheeno Shavela Lola Chaya Velola Beima. Now, a koi, there's actually a machloket whether a koi is a birya b'vnei atzma, that we haven't been able to properly identify its family, so we don't know whether it's a member of the chaya form families or of the behema. This is because of the certain structure of the horns, and there's a suffix about the dosimoni. But there are others that learn that actually a koi is a crossbreed, and the tayesh and tzviya create a koi. And Tosfos points out that this particular Mishnah, Lichora, only works out in its entirety, in all four sections, if we're going according to that latter Mandiyama. It doesn't seem to work out. Only three out of 4 points work out according to the other Mandiyama. So here is the issue. Being as we don't know whether it's a Chaya or a Behema, now obviously there are certain things that are in common to a Chaya Behema. They all need Shchit. They all have the same Simone Trefot, things like that. But there's also serious differences. For instance, a chaya requires kisui hadar, and a behemah doesn't. Or the chaylev of a behemah, being as it's put on the mizbeach, is nisr karev to eat. The chaylev of a chaya is kosher. So we need to establish here in the Mishnah how we treat the koi. So therefore we're saying, well, there's actually four categories. In certain ways it is similar to a chaya. Certain ways it's similar to a behemah. Certain ways it's similar to the common denominator of chaya behemah. And in certain ways it's neither a chaya or a behemah. So what, I mean, the truth is the Mishnah gives a number of examples for each thing. But I mean, the Shavah L'Chaya, as we've said, the Pashta says, Shavah L'Chaya is Kisui Adam, Shavah L'Behem, that's again because of the Chumrah, since we don't know. Maybe it's a Chaya, we'll have to do Kisui Adam. We don't know if it's a Behema, therefore we'll have to be Noed Isser with its Chaylev. We don't know. It may be both a Behema and a Chaya in terms of requiring Shchita. We have to do Bedikas for Trefus and things like that. But it's not a Chaya or a Behema. Now here's the difficult one. Is that a chaya or a behema? The pashtus is, as it says over there, because you are not allowed to mate it, you can't crossbreed it with either a chaya or a behema. Now, that's a very strange thing, because crossbreeding has nothing to do with the overall family, that's with the specific species. So let's not commune it. Nothing, you can't breed anything with anything that's not its own species. Oh, I mean, so what are you telling me? If it were a chaya, you could breed it with a chaya. You don't know what other species of chaya it is. So Rashi is happy with the fact that, look, since it's not cross-breedable with either a chaya or a behema. So that statement still stands. I mean, a chaya is cross-breedable with a chaya. It doesn't mean any chaya with its own type of chaya. Behema is cross-breedable with a behema, not any behema with its own behema. Over here, you can't cross-breed it at all. Because you don't, since it itself is a, so here, Tosfos says, since it itself is a crossbreed, there's a famous question in the Gemara about the contribution to the dinim of kelayim of the father's genes. So that's called choshishin lezera ha'av, or not. So if you're choshishin lezera ha'av, then we give this animal the definition of the genes of the father and the mother, and therefore we would have to, it would be problematic to crossbreed with either other, because each gene is using the other one. So, I mean, obviously, you can tell it can't go crossbreeding, but it may find somebody that likes, you know, and that's okay, we won't interfere. But you can't breed them yourselves. So if not choshishin lezera av, so then you know that since it's the tayish part you can ignore, if you hold in choshishin lezera av, so then you can simply mate it with a tzvi. So that would be the subject according to Tosfos, and according to Rashi, just saying, since you can't crossbreed it at all, it's neither a chaya nor a behema. But you can see Tosfos' problem with that. Okay, but in any event, Derech has no place there. What's Derech over there? I mean, you're simply listing the things. It's things. Things are dvarim. I mean, there's no excuse for using Derech over there. Something's wrong with our analysis of the Gemara. And here's another example of a problem. Your analysis breaks down. But two. Hoditzan zu achat min hadrachim sheshavu gitei nashim l'shichurei avadim. Now, this is one of the ways, you know, the b'fanai nechta, that this is similar between gitei nashim and gitei avadim. We said that in Gitei. What does that have to do with derech? There's no derech that's involved over there. That's pure dvarim. So apparently something is wrong. Therefore, Narashi learns, therefore the Ella means throw out everything that we did. Forget taking the derech so centrally that it's coming to teach us all kinds of things. And that we now have to look at it from a different point of view. And that's very simply this. Where you are listing differentiations. So there you talk about drachim. There are certain ways that it's this way and certain ways that it's that way. You'd say that in English also. That way, right? It is that way. That way means it's a derech. Why do you use the word derech? Because that's the point. It tends in that direction or in that direction. That automatically is like a spatial idea. So you talk about a derech. If you're listing just items, why would you go a little way? So then items are a daver. They're things versus ways. So that everything works in fine. Therefore, this is Rashi's approach. The Ella throws everything out. Ella, kol hecha v'ikta plukta. If you're going to be splitting an analysis, certain ways it's like this, certain ways it's like this, then it's certain ways. And then tani drachi. Kol hecha v'leka plukta, where you're not splitting things, then it's just a list. A list of items are dvarim. Dvarim are items. It makes perfectly good sense, both in English and Hebrew. That's exactly the way you would use the word. And by the way, dekanami. So you can look exactly at the very mission that we used back in the Etrog. Diktoni Seifa, Rabbi Eliezer Amer, Etrog Shaveh Le'ilan L'chol Davar. All through the mission we're talking about is it's Shaveh, it's three ways to the Ilan, and one way to... No, it's in everything. How can you say, why do you say in every way? It's of everything. Because you're no longer making differentiations. There's no differentiation, all of a sudden becomes things. Differentiation becomes ways. So this is a very sad ending. I mean, we did so much nice work. It was really sad. So the truth is that there are many other Rishonim, including the Ramban, who disagrees with Rashi and says, well, this conclusion adds an entirely new dimension to the question of when you would use Derech HaDavar, but it has nothing to do with, well, we weren't talking about ways in our Mishnah or in the Bodkin and Hazav. So why does Rashi think this comes to take the place? Rashi says it comes to take the place because it must be that we're reading in at this place, at this point, only in these ways, but not in another way. So in other words, Isha Niknet B'Shlosha Drachim as opposed to one other Derech. We're going to see maybe Chupa or maybe Chalitin, whatever, but only these three ways and not other ways. Rabbi says, that's not what the Mishnah is coming to say. That's a diet that the Gemara is about to make from the number three. Why do you have to tell us three? We also know how to count. Just say, Yishin Nikmez Bekezer Shtarabiyah. And the same thing Rashi says about Drachim that Birkin says off. Only in these ways, but no other ways that you might think might be things that would stimulate Zivas that, no, they don't count. I mean, you know, says who? Well, that's not what the Mishnah is coming to discuss. The meaning of the Gemara, therefore, says the Ramban, is Ella in terms of thinking that Derech always has to be meaningful. That's the point. Of course, everything that we said is true. Ritva says this as well. Everything that we said is true. The analysis of Derech, the specific utilization of Derech as a catalyst by Zav, and Derech as Derech Eretz over here by Isha, that's 100% true because it doesn't, but there's an additional issue. So Ella doesn't necessarily mean cancellation. Ella can mean, well, we forgot about a whole different thing, you know, in that sense we're saying Ella. But there's another thing, but we certainly stand by what it is that we said. Now, the other thing that we need to understand is why do we need to count? Mishnah need to count for us. I mean, we know how to count. I mean, minyan of the reish lamutimai, minyan of the seif lamutimai. What are you saying? A woman can be nikneis in three ways. Just say, a woman can be nikneis kezer sharabia. She's kenes atzma in two ways. Just say, she's kenes atzma, either beget or beget atzma baal. So minyan of the reish is coming lamute chupa. If you want to just short circuit the whole process, which we essentially do, in the sense that there's no time between the Erisin and the Chuppah, I mean, it's 5 minutes, you know. So if you want to just short circuit the whole thing, so you might think, go straight to the Chuppah, then the Chuppah will subsume the Kiddushin. I mean, if the Chuppah is good enough to actually create a state of complete Yishut, it should certainly be good enough to create the minimal state of Erisin, of Kiddushin, right? Comes along the Mishnah to say three ways and no more. Don't make us any Kal V'chomers that this is the equivalent of Kesef Shtar Ubiya. No Kal V'chomers. It is what it is, and it excludes Chuppah. Well, it's very interesting, but what are you going to do according to Rav Huna? Rav Huna holds a Chuppah is kind of a Kal V'chomer, as we just said. So then the Mishnah, obviously, according to him, can't be coming to be Mamayat Chuppah. So what would number three come to say? Three and not four. What's the fourth thing? So Limutei Mai. Limutei Chalipin. Because Salka Da'atecha Nina. I would have thought like this, that since, after all, as we've said earlier, we learn the whole halacha of Kinyan Kesef from Sei Efron, Masadeh Mikanya B'Chalipin, Afisha Nami Mikanya B'Chalipin. So why don't we already take it another step? I mean, it's possible to buy a field. We know that from Idyalat Rut. The way that they were negotiating for the purchase of the fields of Naomi was through Shalaf Ish Na'alo, Vaitna La'Reyeh, Vezot Atu'udah B'Yisrael. I mean, this was the way in which you went ahead and you made Kinyanim. So if you can be Kinyanim, so what is Chalipin? Chalipin is essentially the equivalent of Kesef, except it's bartering, exactly as the word means, exchange. So instead of a valuation, which is now an abstraction that's translatable into any other type of valuation through a medium called Kesef. Instead, what we have is direct bartering. Except that Chalipin is an abstracted bartering by which you give something to the other party, anything. It doesn't have to be really the consideration. The consideration was a $500 million transfer, electronic transfer to the bank. But the Kinyan was made by the acting out of a barter. So I give you my shoe, and you give me the $500 million thing. I'm obviously not buying it. I'm exchanging it. That's about like how it works in the stock market. You know, that's what they call it, securities exchange. You know, they give you valueless things, and you give them $500 million. So in any event, so that's called Chalipin. No. So if that's the case, I would have thought, Yishanami Mekanya B'Chalipin, if we're comparing it to Sei Efron, so let me utilize Chalipin for Kinyan Isha. Comes along the Mishnah to tell me, Kamash Malan, three and only three. And don't think that Chalipin now becomes the equivalent of Kesef from Sei Efron. According to Rav Huna. Yeah, according to Rav Huna. But that's because Chup is a Kal V'chomer. In other words, it's not that we're saying three, really four, but not five. That's not the point. Since Chup has learned that from a Kal V'chomer, so we're saying, look, things that are only minimally Kinyan and vis-a-vis Kesef Shtar Biyah, there's three of them. There's something that deals with the real state of Yishud we're not talking about over here. That obviously is good enough to include these that we don't have to talk about. But you might have thought that there's another thing that's the full equivalent of Kinyan Kesef. Okay. Kamash Malan, not. Marvel. Actually, why not? You know, not that you mention it. Sounds like a very good point. So, Eimah Hachinami? Why indeed would we not use Chalipin? Ah, you see, because Chalipin itnu b'pachot mishava pruta. Since Chalipin does not require an object of value for the exchange, and an isha b'pachot mishava pruta, lo mikanya. Now, here we have a serious, very, very serious gears question. Rashi's gears is the gears that we have here in the Gemara. Lo mikanya nafsha. Lo mikanya nafsha. So Rashi learns that to mean it's a gnai to an isha to be makner herself for less than a shavar pruta. And because of that, even where it happens to be that the chalipin is utilizing more than a shavar pruta, it means that this type of kinyan is no longer included in the kinyan ishut. Now, this is a very, very problematic way to learn the sugya. So as this points out, first of all, later on we're going to have a discussion of where it is that Beit Shammai comes up with the idea of dinner. And he's going to start talking about the way in which a woman views herself. And at that point, the Gemara is going to start a whole discussion of, and what about if you're like so-and-so who wouldn't accept less than $1 million? And does that mean that the Kedusha wouldn't be good? Or what about if Pashta Yada and she was Mikabelet Pachot? So according to you, it's no good. She wants it. She's saying, I want to accept it. Why wouldn't it? Now, all of a sudden, we bring it up there. Why don't we bring it up here? According to Rashi, we're already talking about that it's up to her, Bekanya Napsha. So why don't we need to discuss all those issues now? So clearly that's not the point. Furthermore, says Taisa, like, come on, now what do you think you're talking about over here? Just because the Kesef, we find that the field could be kind of be Kesef, and we have a Kinyan of Isha similar to the Sei Efron, to Memela, we should use Chalipin. And why not Shtar? And why not Chazaka? I mean, and the Gemara is looking all over. How do we know if you use a shtar? What do you mean? How do you go? You buy a field with a shtar. So why can't you buy a womb with a shtar? You buy a field with a kalim. Obviously, that's not the issue. Nobody ever raised these questions about Isha. So it's a complete misunderstanding what Rashi is saying. Complete misunderstanding. The Gemara never says lo mekanya nafsha. Lo mekanya is what it says. Leave out that nafsha business. Nothing to do with the woman. The point over here, says Tosfos, is that we learned out kesef. Not kinyonim of zodah. We never learned that kinyonim of zodah. We learned how that Avram Avinu says, "Natati kesev asadeh kach bimeni." So you're going to say a brilliant idea. So therefore, you should use a shtar. It's ridiculous. And that's the whole point of the pusik. I'm giving you the cash, and we're using that as the basis of kinyon ha'ish, as cash, right? So the only reason, only cash. Obviously, we're never going to ask, so why not chazaka, why not shtar from the shtar? Therefore, says Tosfos, the Gemara thought that chalipin is an abstracted form of exchange that approaches the nature of the abstraction of cash. Because the idea of cash is an exchange in an idea called value, which is not associated with any particular thing, right? So that's similar to chalipin. So therefore, kesef should include chalipin. That's the point. That was the Gemara's question. Says the Gemara, but that, don't you understand that when it comes to the Isha, the point of the kinyan was specifically getting something in exchange. So since we all understand that Isha v'pachot mishar v'pruta cannot be mekanyan, I mean, it's not about how she feels about it. It's that that's what we learned out from the pasuk. Nasati kesev asadeh. So how could you think that something that gives nothing for value could be included in the nature of kesef? It's obviously a different idea. If you would need a shava pruta in order to do chalipin, I'd agree. That it, indeed we might view it as a subcategory of the kinyanim of kesef. But now that I show you that it doesn't include value, so what right do you have to put it under the same set as kesef? Kesef is entirely value-oriented.
I can't buy a wife with a CDS. Certificate of default,
Oh, what are those things?
Derivative, yeah.
Oh, a derivative.
Yeah. So I'm value. Afraid
not. Oy vey. These are sad signs of the time. Hopefully, no one will even remember what this means by the next time that we reach Kiddushin, but God help us.
So the word Nasha shouldn't be there?
So the word nafsha shouldn't be there, says Tosfos, and now the Gemara is saying something perfectly reasonable. It explains why we don't deal with what about if she's pashta yada, and it explains why we don't deal with the question of shtar and chazaka, and it makes, but it's more than that, don't you see? Because if what we're talking about is three and not something else. So we're talking about the idea of chuppah, right? So we could have a list of various things, three and not. But the three and not is what? If I wouldn't have said three, I would have said Aisha, Niknes, Vikesev, Shtar, Ubibia. Oh, and of course I left out one thing. I mean, that's crazy. What do you mean you left out one thing? Why don't you leave out one thing? The Tana never leaves out one thing. So what would be with the Tana Vashir? So obviously the thing that we're leaving out has to be a subcategory of the thing that we already said. That's the point. So even I'll leave it, otherwise I wouldn't need the number. What do I need the number for? If it says the three things, it doesn't need the number three to tell me and not something else. So the number three is coming to tell me and not something that you would think would be included in those things. That's the point. So Rav Huna is saying it's a Kal V'Chomer. A Kal V'Chomer is included. It already includes the other things. And here it's not a Kal V'Chomer. So therefore, so what is Rashi saying, basically? The way Tosfos is learning makes perfectly good sense. If you don't say the number, I would immediately assume. Okay, but kesef, of course, means the entire set of kinyanim that come under kesef. Therefore, the Gemara has to clarify, but chalipin can't be a member of that set, because the most fundamental category, the principle of that set, is that it's the set of value. So if chalipin doesn't deal with value, why is it kesef? Okay, very nice, beautiful. Yeah, it's just really clear. Okay, now what about the Sefer? Minyan of the Sefer. What is that coming to be, Mamayit? Well, that's three. That's coming to be Mamayit Chalitza. Because here, too, I would have thought without the number that Chalitza is a form of Gittin. This is the Kal V'Chomer. Look, Tetz V'Kal V'Chomer Miyavama. If a Yavama, where it gets not enough, can be Yotze V'Chalitza. Of course, Chalitza and the original basis of Chalipin are very close, you know. Shalaf Ishnalo, so it's the equivalent of the chalipin for the son, is the chalitza. All right. So anyway, she's Yotze b'chalitza. So a regular woman who could be Yotze Beget should certainly be able to be Yotze Bechalitza. I mean, I don't need even to describe that to you. Because I'm going to say later on in the Mishnah Beferish that the Yavama is Yotze Bechalitza, but only Bechalitza, not Beget. So therefore, I would think, maybe true. The Mashmalan that, no, I got to tell you, only two ways, not three ways. Well, why not indeed? I mean, Chalitza seems to be a very violent way of severing the relationship between people. So why wouldn't that be at least as good as a get? Because Omar Kras, Sefer Kritut. Why must you say that only the Sefer is the thing that is correct, but nothing else can achieve this Kritut. Ein davar acher korta. And therefore we know, and that's Merumas in the two in the Mishnah. Okay, so let's get now down to the Mikorot, even though we mentioned briefly the idea of Kicha Misayef from the beginning of the Sugya, but that was only being brought in as an understanding of the language. We weren't really dealing with the basis of it. Let's get now to the actual basis. Where do we know that there is a Kinyan of Kesef? We know that. And then there's another issue that concerns it. Besides the general idea of Kinyan of Kesef by an Isha, there's also a halacha that comes in the Mishnah, the two, Aditznan. The Mishnah, we're going to see more of this later, that an av is zakai bebito, a father is able to accept on behalf of his daughter her kedushin in any form, either kesef, shtar, or bia, which means that he can actually make money off of this, because he can agree to give his daughter in exchange for proper consideration. That's how the Yerushalmi learns it, zakai bebito. Rashi learns that those brings the Yerushalmi. Rashi learns it simply means zakai to make that kinyan, is what we're talking about over here. But where there is an exchange of money, because it's done with kesef, so obviously means also he keeps the money, zakai. So how do we know, first of all, that that type of kinyan, in general, that there's a kinyan of kesef, but that it's a kinyan of kesef that would have the father taking the kesef? So in other words, where do we know? Minola de Bekanya bekesef, and that that kesef would be the avua. So that the one who achieves the kinyan is the one who takes the money. Because you might think that the kesef itself is merely a means of creating a kinyan in the same way. There's no value in bia, there's no value in shtar. So there's a means, there's an instrument, so to speak. So the kesef is an instrument, but there's the additional element of the kesef, which is that, okay, now it's worth something. Who gets to keep it? But if we put the two together, we're saying that, but that goes to the father. So then that means the actual value in the kesef is part of the nature of that kedushin. How do we know that? Omer of Yudam Rav, well, the Omer Krah, V'yatzachinam, ein kesef. So when it says over here that when a woman comes of age after she was sold by her father as a ketana, so she leaves the reshut of the purchaser by presenting signs of puberty. All it needed to say was V'yatzachinam. She goes out for free. Why does it say ein kasef? I mean, obviously, free means ein kasef by definition. So you're telling me ein kasef. What you're saying is that ein kasef la adon zeh, avo yesh kasef la adon acher. What we're saying is that in this particular case, there is no exchange of value, that puberty equals freedom. Unfortunately, every teenager believes that now. Right? But that there doesn't need to be, well, they believe in the exchange of value, but it's the other direction. Father pays, you know. But anyway, so here it's telling us that in this particular yitzia, there's no kesef. But that means there might be a yitzia in which there would be kesef. Now, the other yitzia, the only other yitzia, because there is no other, there's only two possible adnut to a bat Yisrael. One is the adnut of the father when she is young, and the other is the adnut of a baal, right? Or a buyer. Yeah, that's the only adnut. I mean, but the yetziah for the adnut of the buyer, who is a buyer both in terms of her marriage, she has a right to marry her, and to actually own Masa Yadeha, that is accomplished with ein kesef. But a yetziah from the adon, who is her father, meaning where he's handing her over to a husband, is not achieved without kesef. Over there it is done with kesef. So that teaches us that in other yetziot, there is kesef involved, and that refers to the father. Okay, fine, it refers to the father, but how do we know who the money goes to? I mean, all you're telling me is that there's an instrument of freedom, and that's money, but maybe the money goes to her. The Imla Dida, why shouldn't she get the money? Well, that doesn't make sense. I mean, Archi Hashtalot. I mean, the father is the one who actually does the kinyan. He's Makaba Kiddusha. We see that clearly from the Pasuk that appears by the Dinim of Knas, by Motzi Shema. Ebiti natati le'ish hazeh. What do you mean, ebiti natati? In other words, the nitina is the kinyan. So if he's the one that achieves the kinyan, does it make sense to say that ihi shakla kasma? She is taking now the money when he is the one that's making the kinyan? Now, the truth is, Tosafot says, why do we need the pasuk? Because the only meaning of yesh kesef would seem to be that it goes to the father. Because I know kicha kicha mistei Ephron, and ultimately I'm going to get back to kicha kicha mistei Ephron. I know the din of kesef in Kiddushin. We're pretending, the Gemara played a little trick on us. First it asked a general question, nothing to do with the father. How do we know kinyan kesef? Ultimately we get to the idea of kicha kicha mistei Ephron, and I already mentioned that up front at the beginning of the Masechta. So then it said, but hold on, don't jump to conclusion. Because there's also Kiddushin that's achieved by a father. How do we know that that is a kinyan of kesef? And how do we know that the father gets to keep that kesef? And then the first thing now all of a sudden we forgot about, there's no kinyan of kesef, but says Tosis, I mean, look, if you really think about it, what the Gemara should have said at this point is, well, I mean, the pasuk of ein kesef can't be coming to tell me the actual din of kinyan of kesef. I know that already from kinyan of kesef. So the only thing that it would be telling us is that ein kesef la adon zeh, but the other adon gets to keep the kesef. Not the other adon gets to do the kesef, because to do the kesef, I also know from it biti natati l'isha zeh. So what are we talking about? So Tosis has to come on to the fact that later on the Gemara anyway is going to make a trichasa in these things, that we need both of these two. And we're going to see that. So the Gemara has actually made a lot of assumptions up front. It's keeping us on hold. So that we should not, don't worry about that right now. Let's pretend that we don't have the other pasuk, because we're going to, in the end, need both of them. So now, independently, how do we understand the structure of the kinyan kiddushin by the father? So therefore, since we know that he is the one that effectuates the kinyan from et biti natati le'ish hazeh, and we've understood that the modality of that kinyan is the transference of value, it makes no sense that she should take the value. Because the value is innately part of the kinyan. Says the Gemara, but wait one moment. That makes sense when you're talking about a ketana. A ketana, there would be no kedushin if the father wouldn't effectuate the kedushin, because a ketana doesn't have a yad yet to be mekabelet her own kedushin. She doesn't have that. So she can't actually create the kinyan. In which case, I understand that we should look at a father. Now here's how Rashi learns. We shall look at a father being able to be Makavah Kedushin and Ki Kedushin for his daughter who's a Ketana. Now again, on the surface this doesn't make any sense. Because the case of Motzi Shemra is only on a Naira. That's clear because the continuation is, and yes, if it was true and the husband can show that she had slept with another guy, so then she is Chayev Skila. She's a Ketana, she's not Chayev anything. So that means that Et Bitina Tati Lisha says referring to Naharut. So what do you mean? Maybe that's only a ketana. The pasuk isn't talking about a ketana. So the only way that Rashi can make this work is by saying that if the original kedushin took place as a ketana, and then a week later now she's a nara and her husband starts up with this mishigas of lo matzati lebitcha betulim, and then it turns out that he's right and so on and so forth. So then maybe in a ketana, it's only where the kedushin originally was created by a father over a ketana, and then later on that turned into narut with the chiyav of the zdut and so on and so forth. Okay. Certainly doesn't follow the simple reading, but that's how he learns it. Now, I'm going to show you soon why Tosis rejects this as we go on, and has a different reading in the Gemara. I mean, a different reading of the Gemara, not in the Gemara. Okay. So, Ema hanimi leketana dalet la yad lekabel kiddushin, avol na'ara, de'it la yad lekabel kiddushin. So maybe she should be the one who can be Makadish herself if she accepts her own kiddushin. Takdish iya nafsha, v'tishko kaspa, let her walk away with the money. Where did you get the idea that the av is zakai, even on a naira? Amakra bin urea beit avia. The Torah says, now of course that pasuk, we know what that pasuk in Matot is talking about. Nadorim, right? Ben av lebito, ben ish lishto. I mean, that's really, seems to be irrelevant to our sugya. But okay, it says over there, ben urea beit avia, which we understand to mean a specific relationship of all the zechuyot of ne'urim, so that means the period of puberty itself, between the turnover from the ketana into the Bogeret, that six-month period, which is Na'arut, all of the Shevach, all the incremental values that come during that period, belong to the father. So think about that's impossible. Obviously, that's not true, because that can't be the basis of it, because Elohadi Amar Revun Amar Rav, Minayin Shema'aseh HaBat La'av, how do we know that a daughter who makes a salary, the money belongs to her father? Shenemar V'chiyimkor Ish Et Bito Le'ama. So ma'ama ma'aseh yadea l'rabba, af bat nami ma'aseh yadea la'aviyah. Now what we're darshaning over here is the additional word of le'ama. I mean, obviously I don't need a raya that the father owns the ma'aseh yadayim of a daughter if he can sell those ma'aseh yadayim. The very fact that he's able to sell this daughter for the ma'aseh yadayim means that he owned them. It's a little ridiculous to say, how do we know? What do you mean, how do we know? How can he sell his daughter for her work if he didn't own the work? That means the income is his. That's a given. Our question was, what about a na'ara? Now, he can't sell a na'ara because a na'ara goes free the moment she presents signs of puberty. Therefore, we need to find an extra diak in this pasuk, which says, le'ama. Now, obviously, he's selling her as le'ama. That's what we're talking about throughout the sukkah. So if that's, I mean, it appears in the middle of the whole discussion of freeing Evan Ivri and so on and so forth. The question of, well, what else but La'ama? So the extra word of La'ama comes to add now the idea of, sure, as a katana, he can sell the work, and as a nara, he can keep the income of the work, even though he can't sell it. But that, in principle, it's the same idea of what is his zechut in the bat. The only difference is that he's not given the right to be meshabed her to someone for that work. That's all. But other than that, he owns the work. Now, if you were right, and Benurena Beit Avia is correct, that's the perfect place to look. What do I have to go be medayik le'ama? It says Benurena Beit Avia, ko shevach nurim la'avia. Certainly part of Shevach Na'urim is her multi-million dollar income as an analyst, stock analyst. So, how do you explain that? That's the Gemara. According to you, typically, me binu urea beit avia. Ella, I mean, obviously the reason that you don't, I mean, it's sticking right there in your face. You know what the reason is? Because the pasuk of binu urea beit avia was referring to bafarat nedarim odichtiv. What does it have to do with our question? Over there, it's the issue of who gets the right to bafarat nedarim. So it's talking about Afarat Nedarim. So you say, well, I mean, but can't we use Afarat Nedarim as a model and say that if a father has the zechut and the Afarat Nedarim, he should have a zechut in money? Nonsense. That's a principle bichlal that v'chitem and nelef minei derive. You're sitting in the president's seat. My God, you know that there's sometimes people are hung for that. No, it's too late for anything else. So what happens is, that if you try to learn out something that has to do with money from things that have to do with dinim of Isser, that's a claw. We never learn out monetary issues from dinim such as Nedarim. So that's clear. Forget about that Nurel Beit Avia business. That's no answer. So we're still left with the question of, how do we know that the right for the father to effectuate Kedushin is set on a Nara? Maybe it's only set on a Ketana. A Nara should be able to accept her own Kedushin and keep the cash. Okay, so now, we're up to another possible answer. For Chitema, I know what you're going to try to tell me next. You're going to say, well, we're just talking about the case of Knas, Bitina Tati Lisha said, the guy has to pay the father. He gets to keep a knas. Why can't we learn it out from the dinim of knas? Rape. Here, the case that we just had, father gets to keep that knas. Because we have another principle. Mamona miknas aloyal fina. Over here, talking about income, not, this is civil, supposedly. I mean, I've rarely seen these kind of things being very civil. But this is a civil issue, and you're talking about criminal law. What is that? What does one have to do with the other? The fact that the father may be the beneficiary of that type of thing doesn't mean you can learn out mamon from knasa. So that's also no good. Bechitema, maybe you'll say, let's learn it out from Boshe to Pagam, where the Gemara says that in a case where we have over here, in a case of rape, besides the knas, there's also, I mean, rape is also assault. It's regular assault. It's not only knas. The knas is a specific issue that has to do with the sexual element of the rape. But how about the boshet? How about the pagam? How about the tsar? And so on. All of those things go to the father. So maybe you'll learn it out from boshet to pagam, which we derive. The Gemara learns out that boshet to pagam goes to the father. So if boshet pagam goes to the father, then the din is that the kedusha shall go to the father. No, not necessarily. Because boshet upagam may be very different. Because since the father himself is affected by boshet upagam, because after all, I mean, he has the right, really, to accept $1 million from a guy that it's a busha for her to marry and accept kedushin. So that means that he is going to be basically, now that money he's losing. Right? Shush. In other words, the right of a kedushin that was worth a lot of money from somebody who'd be willing to buy her, you know, as in Memoirs of a Geisha, this is a heck of a lot of dough we're talking about. I mean, so now that pagam is a pagam for him too. So obviously, we'll get to there in a moment. If he could be makabel kedushin again. So therefore, you couldn't learn out from Boshet Upagam because he's shayach to it. Now, as Reuven has just...
That's only by Nara.
Has Reuven... No, of course not. Wait a minute. Why would it be?
Even by
Nara. So now what we've reached is the problem that I promised you we would discuss in Tosfos. As Tosfos has pointed out, we have now reached a tautology. Because the only reason that we're saying the father shayach to Boshet Upagam. Okay, how is the father shayach to Boshet Upagam? Because he can accept kedushin of the naira and give her Boshet Upagam and get her Boshet Upagam and take money for it. So therefore, you wanted to learn out from Boshet Upagam that the father gets to keep the kedushin, where the only way that we knew that he has a right to Boshet Upagam is because of the fact that he could be a mekadesher. But this is ridiculous. Right? So we're running around in circles. You're saying, I can prove to you, what's the problem? I can prove to you that he can be Makaba Kedushin for an Ara, because after all, he gets the Boshet Upagam. Yes, but the Boshet Upagam is because he has a right to marry off the Nara, and that's why he gets the Boshet Upagam. So here we've reached an impasse. Therefore, says Tosfos, Rashi's whole approach is, again, completely insupportable. The Gemara couldn't have been asking that maybe a Naira, the father, should have no zechus to be Mekabel Kedushin. Of course the father has a zechus to be Mekabel Kedushin. Otherwise, this is all ridiculous. The Gemara's question was, Bishleimim by a katana where the father has the only rights to Kedushin because she has no yad of her own. So the money that comes in belongs to him. But now you're trying to extend that into the case of the Nara. The Nara does have her own ability to be Makabel Kedushin. And you're saying, but the father gets to keep the Kedushin. Hold on, baby. That's a whole different issue. Because where you're talking about where the transference of value is to the one who's effectuating the kinyan. Okay, I understand. Obviously, then that person gets to keep the money. But if she's being Makabel her own Kedushin, and you can't use Benurel Beit Aviyah to say that he gets to keep it, so why the heck does he get to keep it? So then it makes sense, since Lamaisi, he did have a chance in his own acceptance of Kedushin to be Makabel Kesef if he acts before she does. So he could be Makabel Kedushin. There is a chelek of Boshet Upagam that he does have Shaykhus to. So then this whole thing begins to make sense. Okay, so that was the Gemara's question, according to Tosfos. Not to take away the yad of the father for Nara, but simply to say, we're all agreed that she also is keeping Makabel Kedushin. And you've been equating now the acceptance of the Kedushin with the keeping the value of the Kedushin, the ability to accept Kedushin with keeping the value of the Kedushin. Why? Maybe it's the actual acceptance of the Kedushin that gets you to keep the Kedushin. But if the Naira accepts her own Kedushin, then Enochinam, she gets to keep her own Kedushin. That follows very logically what you said before. So where do we get this idea that the Av is Zakai B'Kedushin? We can't learn it out from the Darim. And we can't learn it out from Boshet Upagam. We can't learn it out from Knas. How do we know it? That's the Gemara's kasha. Ella says, you know what? Go back to the beginning, okay? Because you had a misunderstanding at the beginning. When we learned it out from V'yatzah Chinam, Ein Kasef. So we thought that means that there's another transaction in which money is involved. So you said, okay, fine, money's involved, but who gets to keep the money? That was your question. You said, well, a katana I know who gets to keep it. Fine. But a naira, I don't know. Fine, very nice. All a mistake. It was you weren't stressing the right point. Because when it says over there, v'yatzah chinam ein kasev, it has to be seen contextually. It's not referring to the yitziyah, it's referring to the adon. So elamistavid kama mayit. Yitziyah de kavata. What it's talking about over here is that the same thing that you would have expected to take place here, which was what? Transferring money to pay for her freedom to the owner that is now going to be losing her present, right? No, No money. But in a case where there is another Adayim who is transferring her out, yes, money. Who's that other Adayim? Daddy. Who would have gotten the money in this case? Adayim. So who gets the money in the other case? Daddy. So it's built into the nature of the deer.
So we just read it wrong?
We were reading it in terms of the Yitziyah. So it was Ein Kesef B'Yitziyah Zo, but Yesh Kesef B'Yitziyah Acher. That's not the point, it's in Yitziyah. It's Ein Kesef La'adon Zo, but Yesh Kesef La'adon. That's the way to look at it. So Mamela, we could have learned out it was Daddy all along. Okay, so this is how Rashi understands the Yitziyah Dekavata. Okay. There's other approaches to Yitziyah Kavata. There's the Rabbeinu Tam's approach, which is difficult to understand. The Tosis himself says he doesn't like it. The Rabbeinu Tam understands that the whole focus of Ella is going back to the Nara question, not to the original question of how do we know he gets to keep the Kiddush, but how do we know Nara? So since over here was a Yitziyah of Narut, so here it's Yitziyah of Narut. Okay, he's a Yechid. In that approach to the circuit. It's a completely different approach. We're not going back to the original question. We're only talking about the Benurah Beit Aviyah problem. However, Tosis himself also has a slightly different stress. Yitziyah Dekavata, he says, is not referring a switch from the transaction to the individual with whom the transaction is being conducted. That's not the point. Yitziyah Dekavata means what would have been the nature of the Yitziyah if there would have been Kesef. That's the idea. So what other Yitziyah do we have? We do have another Yitziyah. The other Yitziyah is, if she's not a Nara, she buys herself back. That's called Pidyon. So there we have over there, Giraon Kesef, where we make an analysis of how long she has to work, and you buy yourself out, and so on. So when we're talking about over here, that which takes the place of that kind of Yitziyah, we're referring to something very specific. It's not because we say in Kesef, and therefore we jump to the conclusions of the Adon. It's that the type of Yitziyah that we're talking about is buying your way out. So over here, you don't have to buy your way out. Over there, you do have to buy your way out. So if you have to buy your way out, then obviously it has to do with the person that you're buying your way out from. In which case, the Kiddushin would have to go to the father. Okay, slightly different stress. Now, the Gemara, depending on how we understand the diyuk of Yitziyah Dekavata, the Gemara's question has to be understood also with slightly different stresses. Asks the Gemara, but wait, Olodamya HaYitziyah LaHaYitziyah. Can we really make this deal? Because we cannot compare Erusin, Kiddushin, that has been taken from a father, to a Yitziyah of an Amma Ivriya and claim that that is what the Torah is trying to refer to when it says here not, but somewhere else yes. That somewhere else has to be a somewhere else that is the equivalent of here, doesn't it? And it's lo damyam. Why is it no damyam? Because where you're talking about the Amma, hatam nafkalam rishut adon legamre, she leaves the rishus of the master completely. He has absolutely no rights left in her whatsoever. So you're saying, in a yitziyah like that, where it's a true yitziyah, then ein kasef. But in another such yitziyah, yesh kasef. Well, where's that? Where's that other yitziyah? Because hocha, akatim bechaser misira lechupa. When you're talking about kiddushin, kiddushin is not the equivalent of leaving the rishus of the father. Father still has the rishus over her in terms of giving her over to the chuppah to create the finalized state of ishut. So you're comparing apples and oranges and claiming that what it's saying is not here, but yes, there. The most you can do is say that in the chuppah, if there were values, then the father would be the one that would get that value if there's a dowry, whatever. I mean, but what does that have to do with kiddushin? This is how Rashi understands. If you take the other approach, then there's another way of understanding it. This is how Rashi's approach to understanding is that if we understand that when you're meant to be buying your freedom, so to speak, and the Torah is giving your freedom for puberty instead of money, but then the most you see is that when you buy freedom, you pay. That's what you say. But from the father, you haven't bought freedom. He hasn't lost anything because he still has you under his thumb. Begabe the Messiah Lechopah. So what's poor daddy going to feel bad at? What does he lose? Doesn't lose anything. So you can no longer say that the Torah is saying he has to be compensated. Compensated for what? It's all gains for him. So Mamela, the control he still has, the lack of worries he has, he can do whatever he wants. Either he can give her over, or he could say, well, you know, we'll never get her to the chuppah. Well, I mean, but it's all his. So why would I have to pay? That's the Gemara's kasha. To which the Gemara answers, that may be true. But now, ironically, we can get back to the Afarat Nedarim. Because he used to be in control of her Nedarim. And now, He's lost control. It's terrible. Poor man has to be compensated. We know how parents hate losing control. That would be the Rosh's idea, right? With Rashi, it's a little bit more difficult, as we'll see in a moment. Because Be'afarat Nedarim Mi'anafkala, she has left his Rishus when it comes to Afarat Nedarim. Nafkala Mirshute. It's not, because after all, it says in the Mishnah, when it comes to a Na'ara, once she's Mu'ureset, so now the father shares the rights over the Nedarim with the Orus. Of course, the French is very strange, so then it's still not similar. Now, so he still has something. See, according to the way that Tosfos Rosh is learning, that's fine, because in a way, it's even worse to have to share it with the bank on chosim, right? It's one, all right, forget about it. I got to talk to that jerk about that's one thing for sure. If you're talking about the necessary compensation, okay. According to Rashi, you have to say that, okay, but Lamaisa, the difference between being solely in charge and not being solely in charge is an absolute. So now it doesn't reduce over in the dark. It's weaker. Okay, but in any event, we see the two major approaches here of the Rishonim to the circuit. It says, but the Gemara, but there's a problem with your whole drasha, because v'yatzachi nam la'achiyu de'ata. It happens to be you've made a beautiful drasha with v'yatzachi nam, but the problem is v'yatzachi nam itself is not extra, and it's needed very clearly. The v'yatzachi nam ein kasev, both needed. Mibayla look at Tanya. And the Bright explains what we need that for. It's not an extra word for diuk. Tanya v'yatzachinam, elu yamei bagrut. So from v'yatzachinam, without en kasev, I would have said, a woman goes free from her state of oma ivriya only 6 months after puberty. En kasev adds, elu yamei na'arut. Now, of course, the Gemara is going to ask later how in the world she could possibly have gone out with bagrut if she already left as a na'ara. Okay. We'll get to that, but let's ignore that for a moment. But what's important for us right now is to recognize that the meaning of Yatzachinam Ein Kasev is not to be Medayik, Ein Kasev La Adon Seva, Yerj Kasev La Adon. I'm sorry. Omer Ravina, don't be too sorry, because there's always another drasha, and we've got that possibly. And that drasha is the spelling of Ein. Since when do we need a Yud in Ein? There ain't no Yud in Ein. Yeah. So yeah, we're going to show you how we know that. Because in Kain Lemakra, Ein Kesev without a Yud. My Ein Kesev with a Yud. So that's an extra dick. And that's the Ein Kesev Adon Zava Yesh Kesev Adon Acher. Umayn Yu'av. Oh, no, wait a minute. That sounds awfully iffy to me. Come on, man. I'm starting to get doubtful. Who gave you a right to make drushes like that? The Tanya. What do you mean? One of the most famous drushes in history is Vizera Einla. When does a woman now lose her rights to eating truma of Beit Aviya?
If she's a Baskayin, she would be eating truma from her father's home. However, if she went ahead and married a Yisrael, a Tsar, she can no longer eat truma as long as he's alive, or if she has any children from him. If he dies, then she goes back to truma space avia, but only when there's no children.
So then she goes back to truma space avia. So we say, okay, but that's just a zera einla. What if she would have a grandchild and no children? So zera einla, inela zera, zera zara minayin. Talmud lomar, zera einla, ayinla. Check it out. Meaning, so see if anywhere down the generation, a grandchild, a great-grandchild, that would prevent her from eating truma from Beis Aviyah. Ein le'ela zera kasher, zera pasul minay. How about if she's got only a little mamzer to present? Does that also now prevent the achila of truma? Natosis points out she couldn't really have a little mamzer. Because if she did, she obviously slept with somebody that passed her for the kahuna. But she could have a little mamzer, which means for a grand. She have a grand. Ah, you see my beautiful new grandson, the mamzer. So he could be ma'akever for machilas truma. How do we know that? Also over there it says einla. Tamad lo mezara einla ayenla. Wait a minute, but you already used that. Afikta lezara zara. Zera Zara, we were just throwing that in for fun. Because Zera Zalo Itzrich Kro. We learn out from a pasuk that Bnei Banim are Enke Banim. We know Bnei Banim are considered to be Banim. That's a din in Yavamas. So that we already know Lagabi Truma as well. But when it comes to the question of psul, there we need already the extra ayin la. Okay, so kitzur kol zera pasul. So you see that we can use the extra yud ayin la for ayin. So obviously we're being medayik. Yud ayin can be read ayin. All right, so all that you're, yeah, because olive and ayin, this is in the Aruch, there's a number of approaches, but the Aruch's approach is olive and ayin are interchangeable. So the question, of course, is, all you brought me is a raya that somebody else got the nerve to make this ridiculous drasha. Where does the Tana get the right to make such a drasha? The Tana gufe min ali de darash achi? Where does he see that the yud in ayin is extra? Yeah, what do you mean? May ayin bil am. May ayin yap me. Now, is there any yud in there? How do you read that? You read it ayin? Is there some slight difference in pronunciation? None whatsoever. So obviously, ein does not require a yud. So if you're writing it with a yud, so there lok tibo yud, ok tibo yud, tishmami no the drasha with the ata. So now we know that it's coming specifically for this drasha. Let's just get up to the two dots. We have a very simple tzrichata. The itzrich v'nichtav kiddushei alavien, and we needed all of these psukim to prove that the kiddushin goes to the father separately from the proof that ma'aseh yadeha go to her father, which we also proved from the extra la'ama. Tikat avrach v'ne kiddushei alavien ava minu mishum de lo tarcha b'hu. Ava ma'aseh yadeha de katarcha b'hem adidaha. Look, I understand kiddushin come her way. It makes sense that she go to the father. Father raised their father invested in her, and this is his investment. But I mean, she works for a living. Why should he take her money? That's her own work. So I need a pasuk, obviously, to know that something that she's torachat in also goes to the father. On the other hand, Ashmina Maaseh Yadeha, I say, okay, it makes sense. The norm is that this guy has invested a lot of money raising this child. I mean, just putting her through college, at a very precocious age, was very expensive. So it makes sense that over there she should. I mean, it's payback time, baby. We didn't train her. It actually was this 12-year-old that was working as a midwife. It was all over the news lately. She actually got her certificate of working as a midwife. No, in the canyon. So, in any event, okay, but now, she should pay me back for the education. I mean, why not? For all of the food I've been giving her all her life. Ava kiddushia. I mean, that has nothing to do with my investment directly. So kiddushia de miyama ka'atila imadidah. Maybe that indeed should go to her, because that's not something I invested in. Therefore, tzricha. Vahad, it's not. Koy yesh bo drachim shava l'chaya, v'yesh bo drachim shava l'beima, v'yesh bo drachim shava l'chaya ul'beima. ויש בו דרכים שאינו שווה לא לחיה ולא לבהמה. ניתני דברים? בטוח. הדתנן זו אחת מן הדרכים ששבו גיטי נשים ושחרורי עבדים. ניתני דברים? אלא, כל אחד יקה פלוקתא תני דרכים, וכל אחד לקה פלוקתא תני דברים. תקנה מיני תני ספר בלעזר אומר, את רוק שווה לאילן, לכל דבר שבא מנה. מניין הדרש למותי מים, מניין הדסף למותי מים, מניין הדרש למותי חופה. And al refuna liom l'chupa konam mikava chomer l'muti mai, l'muti chalipin. Sal kada teicha mina, ho, l'gomar kicha kicha mistea from a sadet mikanya b'chalipin. Af isha nami mikanya b'chalipin, kamash malan, ve'ema hochi nami. No, because chalipin itum b'pachot mishava pruta, v'isha b'pachot mishava pruta, lo mikanya, according to Tosfos, or lo mikanya nafsha, according to Rashi. מיניון הזה סייפה למותי חליצה, סרקת עדיך מנתתי בקו החומר מיבמה. מה היבמה שאינו יוצא בגית, יוצא בחליצה, זו שיוצא בגית, אינו דין שיוצא בחליצה, כמה השמלן, באימא הכינמי, הוא אמר קרא, ספר קריטות, ספר קורתה, ואין דבר אחר קורתה. בכסף, מינולי, וטוב. עוד הצען האב זכאי בביתו בקידושיה, בכסף בשטר ובביאה. מינולו דבקני בכסף, and that the כסף דיאבו. אומר רבי אומר רב דיאמר קרבי יצא חינם אין כסף, אין כסף לדון זה, אבל יש כסף לדון אחר, ומניו אב. ואם לדידה, כמאן אחי, אשתבי ימקה בקדושה, לכן ביתי נתתי, לאיש הזה ואיש הקלה כספה, which I forgot to mention, which according to Tosfos now, is Pashtus, talking about a Naira. That part also works out great. ואם הני מילי קטנה, דולת ליד לקבל קדושין, אבל נערה, דעיד ליד לקבל קדושין, תקדיש אי נפשה, ותשקול כספה, אמר קרא בנעורי הבית אביה, כל שבח נעורים לאביה. ולעוד יום רבונו אמר רבי נאין שמעשה הבת לאב, שנאמר וכי ימכור איש את ביתו לאמה. זאת אומרת, אמה מעשה ידל רבה, אב בת נמי מעשה ידל אביה, according to you, typically בנעורי הבית אביה.
Ella, obviously, it's because nobody normal thinks such a thing. That's talking about a parat nedarim odichtiv. So, achinami ba parat nedarim odichtiv. Chitem in elif minamam, one misra lo yafina. Chitem in olz miknasamim, one miknasam lo yafina. Chitem in elif boshet abgam, no, because boshet abgam avua eshayer begava. Ella, mistav adichi kamamayit yitziyad kavata kamamayit. But, I mean, it isn't kavata now, is it? Volo dami ayitziyala ayitziyatam nafkalim reshut adon negamri. Okay, but at least Bafarat Nidorim, me and Afkalan Rishute. That's not Naram, Urasav, Yobalan, they fear in the Dorea. But the Havi Yatzachina main Kasiv Lachim, the Yatami, where they get a Tanya? The Tanya, Yatzachina, Elo Yume Bagrut, Ain Kesev, Elo Yume Narut, or Mervina, we came Limakra, Ain Kesev without a Yud, my Ain Kesev with a Yud, Ain Kesev Ladon Zavieshka Kesev Ladon Acher, Umanu Av. Who said you could make a drush like that? The Tanya of Zera Ein La in the Ella Zara Zera Zara Aminai Tam and Zera Ein La. Read that Ayin La. Obviously, we're yudding it up. Rev Ein the Ella Zera Kosher Zera Pasul Minai Tam and Lomar Zera Ein La Ayin La. Now wait. How many yuds are yudding up? The Afite the Zera Zara Zera Zara the Yitzchak Krod the Bnei Bani Marian Kevanim the Yitzchak Krod the Zera Pasul the Tanagufim in Oli the Dorashavi. Well, Amri, Ktiv, Me'ein Bil'am, without a Yud. Me'ein Yami, Lo Ktibu Yud, Lo Ktibu Yud, Shemami Ali Drash Udiata. Vitzach Levichta Kirushel Leviyah, Vitzach Levichta Maasei Yadea Leviyah. Dika, the Rechamani Kirushel Leviyah, Ava Minim Shem Lo Torkabu. Ava Maasei Yadea Tekatarkabu, Ema Dida Havi. Vyashmina Maasei Yadea, Tekamitza Namine, Ava Kirushel Leviyah, Ema Dida Havi. Tzricha, Pip.